God this morning? Aren't you grateful that he fights our battles for us? As we begin to praise and worship him, he is fighting on our behalf. Hallelujah.
The battle is When two or more are gathered in His name, He is there. For all who come, who run to Him in faith, He is there. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, power in His name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is. No fear, no lie can stand against us now, for He is here. The word has come to silence every doubt. Oh, for He is here. There is power in the name of Jesus. There.
Thank you.
we come alive. Here we're undone, overcome by heaven's love revealed before our eyes. Yes, show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down. Show us your glory. Show
this service, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit came into my office and said that I do change everything. Not only he changes it in a moment. I was thinking about how Samson, he was just at the end, but he called out to God and God changed everything. I was thinking about the woman at the well. She was just at the end. She was in hiding. She was embarrassed. But at that moment, Jesus changed everything. I was thinking about the blind man. Jesus changes everything. So I was just believing that Jesus could change everything in this room. Everything. Everything. There's something about when you come together. There's something about it. I was wondering what it would feel like if 100% of Charleston Church was depending on God to change everything this morning. I was wondering what it would feel like if I looked around and 100% of the people had their hands raised singing, Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. Everything. So if you have a need, and if you don't have a need, I would just like 100%, you say, Darcy, I don't do that. I don't care. So why don't you just raise your hand and let's take our eyes off our problems, our situations, and just confess, Jesus, you change everything. Everything. Sickness be gone. Finances restored. Marriages health. Whatever they need today, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you change it. That you change it. We're going to sing it one more time. Hallelujah. Let's just worship. Keep your hands up. Let's just worship. Hallelujah.
Jesus,
hallelujah. Keep your hands up and we're going to pray together as a family. I want to hear you pray with me this morning. I want to hear it from those chairs up. Let's just ask whatever you need today. I would just ask the Lord to fix it today. Just today, let me hear you pray. God, we thank you that you are here. You are with us. I pray in the name of Jesus. From the front to the back, all through the balcony, let not one person leave this house not changed. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that really doesn't have that hope, that they leave with it today. I just pray, God, if there's somebody here that feels defeated, that they will know today that they are not. They're more than a conqueror. I pray in the name of Jesus, we know that you are bigger than any situations. I pray for miracles today. I pray that they'll leave different today. I'm so thankful for you and your presence. We just want to thank you at Charleston Church that you're with us, that you're for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you tell two people God is big, and you may be seated. God is big. God is big. Amen. I got a little excited. It's exciting when you believe in a miracle working God. Amen. Amen. If you're a visitor here this morning, we just want to take a minute to celebrate you. We're glad that you are with us. And Charleston Church, will you let them know we're so glad they're here? They're in the house. So if you're visiting, or maybe you've been here for a couple weeks, if you would just take the contact card in front of the seat in front of you, take it, fill it out, put it in the offering so we can connect with you. Everybody needs a good church. Amen? Amen. And if you don't know that you do, give us a few weeks and we will show you. Amen? Yes. Yes, we will. Offering, if you get ready, we're going to have the ushers come get ready. I just have a couple announcements before that. On February 20th, how many know that we have kids on the move that are down there today celebrating and just having a great time? On the 20th, they're going to go to the trampoline park. And they're just going to rent it out. It's $5 to get there. Go and just have a blast. It's going to be a fun night together, morning together. So if you have, just go, and if you can't, jump. Andy, somebody said behind me last week when Pastor was teasing about you going that maybe they thought it would be quite a workout for the trampoline, not just... So I'm sorry. Andy loves us, so it's all good. It's all good. So just go and have fun. It's $5. Bring your kids. I'm telling you, it is good to have your kids connected to a church and a church family. Amen? Amen. And how many know that tonight is better together? Well, we're still better together. But that freezing rain is going to make it just like impossible. It would be like Pastor and I, you know, and that we are better together. But the whole point is that we can bless you. So we're going to we're going to change the date on that. We're going to get back to you. It's supposed to be freezing rain. And so enjoy your hot chocolate at home. Okay? Be better together with your spouse in your house today. That's as far as I'm going. Okay. No service. Thank you, Pastor Ward. We're better together. He helps me. No, sir. I thought that they got that, but they might not have. So no service. You got it? Hands up if you got it. Okay, we'll be better together another week. I'm sorry. Okay, we are so thankful for your faithfulness at Charleston Church. Last week after the service, we had our business meeting, and you look over those papers, and I'm just saying, God is so faithful to Charleston Church. He's so faithful, and that comes from every one of you. So we just want to say that we are thankful. If you're watching on live stream, we are way better in looking in person. So you should come out. But if you aren't going to come out, then just hit donate, hashtag donate, and give, and just be a part of it completely. You know, somebody saw me by Barbara's office window one time right before service, and I was getting something, and they looked down, and they said, "Is that Darcy?" And she's like, "Yes." And she says, "She looks way better from afar." So maybe you should just stay. So it was so funny because I could hear her. I was like right there. So just if you've never seen me up close, stay away. So I'm sorry. He's not going to let me do announcements. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. And we just thank you for this church and their faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that they are faithful in their tithes and offerings. We thank you that you bless us when we're faithful. We thank you that we're a blessed people because we're obedient to your word. I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that needs a job, that you open that door this week. I pray for finances. I pray for them to be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Brad, if you want to come up and get ready to sing. This is Brad Storman. Can you guys give Brad a hand?
Well, good morning to you. Before I sing, I just wanted to take a quick moment, I guess, and just testify, you know, about the power of Christ. You know, many of you know my story, and probably many of you don't. But I just wanted to share enough to help you realize that there is no limit to Christ. And if I weep some during my words or the song, I guess I don't apologize for that, because it just moves my heart. It's been about 20 years. It's 1997 when my whole world kind of came to a halt, turned upside down, and almost buried. I was hit while standing by a truck doing full speed, and the results weren't good. It did such impact on my mind and on my brain that they had to do surgery and remove a small portion. Had to keep me in a coma for, I think, a couple of weeks to recover. I spent about 2 months at the hospital. I had to go to a lot of, I don't know the right word, call it therapy or classes for months. I had to be taught how to read again. I didn't remember. I couldn't do much. I did have a traumatic seizure about just a few months after the accident. That wasn't good. And, you know, some things, the medication, I still take it, but I have to, I don't share that with you in sorrow. Again, I am grateful for the power of my Christ. Things were not expected to keep improving. And it was very humbling. But, you know, in a short story, that's kind of the valley that I went through. You know, and I can't emphasize enough about the power of the Holy Spirit. Years ago, long before that, a minister here spoke to me. It's hard for me to say it without weeping, but he told me, he said, get ready for that challenge of the giant. And that challenge really came. But again, to my, if I'm remembering correctly, it was just a matter of months before the accident. It's when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. God knew what was coming. And I can't emphasize enough that you need to seek that. You need to grow in the Spirit. Because there could come a time when you're in such a valley that it just doesn't seem like there's much hope or any way out. But when you got Christ with you and the Holy Spirit, you'll never stay low. You will come back. And you just have to claim it. You have to believe it. And Christ is on your side. You'll never lose.
Stepped out on the ocean, you
caught my hand among the waves, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all the praise. My seasons change, you stay. You're the God of all my days. I ran from you and wandered in the shadows and found a God who relentlessly pursued. Hid from you, haunted by my failures, and found a God whose grace still covers me. I fell on you when I was at my weakest, and found a God, the lifter of my head, and I worship you. Felt you right beside me. You're the reason that I sing, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all the praise. My seasons change, you stay the same. You're the God of all my days. In my worry, God, you are my stillness. In my searching, God, you are my answers. In my God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my power. Reason that I sing, you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all the praise. My seasons change, you make the same. You're the God of all my days. In my blindness, God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my freedom all my days.
Awesome, awesome. Good job, Brad. Let's stand together. Come on, let's stand together. And let's give God not only praise for helping him, but helping all of us today. Come on, give him a much better praise. A much better praise than that. Come on. That's better. Come on, praise him. Praise him good. He's worthy of all the honor. Glory to God in the highest. Thank God. You are either on this side of the miracle waiting for it to happen, or you're on the other side of it and it's already happened. But I can tell you, he's the God of both sides. Oh, we don't wait till praise him like he's God till after things change, because he's God even before things change. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I want to talk to you today, minister to you, get your heart ready And we believe that God's going to do something spectacular this morning. This service is not over. God's got something to do here. I'm glad that you're here, and we will reschedule that better together. We're going to a lot of people involved in that, so we got to check everybody's schedules. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, just one verse of reading while you're standing. Verse 8, Ecclesiastes 4, my apologies. Ecclesiastes 4, if you're led by the Spirit, you'd know where I was going to go anyway. So, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 8, and then this one scripture, and then we'll be seated. Verse 8, there is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. Help me a little bit, if you would, and just lean on somebody. Just tell somebody, I need somebody to lean on, if you would. And after you've leaned on a couple people, go ahead and take your seats if you would like. All right? Thank you. All right, all right, all right. Somebody say, all right, all right, all right, all right. Relationships. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Some children were asked about marriage, and all the children are between ages of 7 and 10, and these are the questions and some of their answers. How do you decide who to marry? Alan, age 10, said, you got to find somebody who likes the same stuff. Like if you like sports, she should like it that you like sports and should keep the chips and dips coming. Chips and dip coming. Freddie, age 6, was asked, what's the right age to get married? He said, no age is good to get married. You got to be a fool to get married. Derek, age 8, was asked, how can a stranger tell if two people are married? He said, you might have to guess based on whether they seem to be yelling at the same kids. Martin, age 10, was asked, what do most people do on a date? On the first date, they just tell each other lies, and that usually gets them interested enough to go for a second date. What would you do on the first date if it was turning sour? And Craig, age 9, said, I'd run home and play dead. Pam, age 7, was asked, when's it okay to kiss someone? She said, when they're rich. I find every one of these answers to be accurate, actually. Oh, a couple more. How would the world be different if people didn't get married? Kevin, age 8, said, there sure would be a lot of kids to explain, wouldn't there? This is my favorite one. How would you make a marriage work? Ricky, age 10, said, tell your wife that she looks pretty, even if she looks like a truck. I want to talk to you about the fact that I believe very strongly that there should be results to our faith. And I think that we are here because we believe that. And as I seek God and I want more results, I want more demonstration, I want there to be proof, as acts as infallible proofs of God in our faith, there are things that I learn, and one of them is that God requires agreement for miracles. Agreement. Somebody shout agreement. Agreement. There's a word in the Bible that's odd. It's called touch. And in essence, touch means the effect of lives. So all of our lives, now I don't care how old or young you are, all of our lives are the conclusion or the result of the lives of people that have affected us and the lives of people that we affect. Okay? So it is no wonder that there is such an attack and strain on relationships, because God utilizes relationships in agreement to do miracles. That's why the scripture still teaches there is the doctrine of laying on of hands. When this service comes to a conclusion, I'm going to invite every person specifically that needs bodily healing today. If you need a healing in your body, you need to set your faith on God today, because the Bible says that this doctrine of laying on of hands means that when believers get into agreement and pray one for another, the Bible says these signs shall follow them and they will see the sick healed. And so we must put a priority and a premium on agreement, on unity, and on relationships. I was reading, before I preach, I always try to take up my Nave. In fact, I've got it here. I was going to read out of it. I don't know if that I will. But I take this Nave's Topical Bible, and I just find, I find the subject that I'm studying and preaching on, and I just start reading. It just lists all the scriptures, and I just started reading through it. Listen to this. Malachi 3:16, they that fear the Lord spake often to one another. They that fear the Lord often get together, and the Lord hearkens and hears it, and a book of remembrance is written before him for them that fear the Lord. In other words, every time you and I are in faith, and we agree in faith, and we speak the things of faith, God has an angel in heaven writing down our conversations, and God says, I'll remember to do what my people get in agreement on. So when God's people get in disagreement, God has nothing to go back to. Why isn't God doing more in my life? Because there's a blank page when we don't have proper relationship with God's people. So this is where I want to go with this today. Ecclesiastes 4:8, you see there, says that if there's one alone, one without a companion, one who has nobody else, there's no end to their labor. Noah brought two of each animal onto the boat to keep things going. When Jesus was training people to do ministry, he sent them out two by two, not only for safety, but because there were to be results for people who can find somebody to get into agreement with. There are consequences to being alone, and there are consequences to be in agreement. Just a little while ago, they were rescued. But just a little while ago, Tony and Wayne and Eric Keppel were on a boat fishing off the coast of Booth Bay Harbor, and a tremendous storm came up and pushed their boat miles out into the ocean, and they were stranded. And this vase floated over to them, and all of a sudden, poof, popped out a genie. And the genie said to each of these three gentlemen, I'm going to give you one. Tony said, well, I really miss my, I wish I could be with my family. Poof, he was gone. Wayne said, boy, I really miss my family. I'd like to be with my family. Poof, Wayne was gone. And Eric said, boy, I really miss Tony and Wayne. And poof, they came back. I've been waiting all week to tell that one. That's a good one. Look what he says. He says, there's no end to their labors. You're all cool, and you're too cool for school, and you're too cool for us. But the Bible says that if you don't get into agreement with the people of faith, he says your days will just go on and on and on. And there's no proof for your labor. There's people go to church. They sing the songs. They hear the teaching. They feel that they've got their doctrine right. But there's no results because there's too much arrogance and too much pride. And there's too much bias in the local church, to be quite honest with you. We got to stop with all of our arrogance. And we need to humble ourselves and say to people, if I don't have you in my life, I don't have what God wants for me to have in my life. I need you in my life. I need you. One of the worst things you can have, listen to me, young people, is a phenomenal career and nobody to enjoy it with. You will then, these are not the words of somebody who's broke, busted, and disgusted. These are not the words of somebody who didn't succeed in life. These are the words of Solomon, one of the richest men ever to walk this planet. One of the wisest men to ever live on this earth. And he said, if you live your life without significant, real, authentic relationships, he says, it's all a waste of time. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to waste, we all got one life. I don't want to waste a day of it. And when we do it alone, we become selfish. There's no context for sacrifice. God builds character through relationships. Look what he says in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. I think you ought to be glad about that. Look what he says. Two are better than one. Why? Because there's results for people who get together in faith. Now, I want everybody to hear me. There is the spiritual law of agreement and there's a natural law of agreement. If in the natural law of agreement, you decide to drift from God and go back to the people who do the same dumb things that you do, there will be results. Look at me. From the balcony to the floor, look at me. If you go back and start repeating the dumb activity and get people to agree with your dumb activity, you'll get results and you shall not complain about it. Because there are results to the law of agreement, whether you're doing things in the sinful flesh or in the spiritual activity. If there's a certain weight that you want to get to, eat with people that are at that weight. I said that with a smile on my face. What's the matter? My doctor told me my last physical, he said, "You're obese." I'm like, "Are all your other patients 10-year-olds? I mean, I'm obese. I'm 200 pounds of lean muscle. You're gonna pull the testosterone out of my body so I can..." No, this is what I tell myself. But he said, "You got to lose weight." I'm like, "So, well, how?" He says, "You got to eat with people. Because when you eat alone, you eat fast." I'm like, "It's one or the other with me. I'm either with people or I'm eating, but I don't want to do both." But he said, when you're eating with, and I'm just saying, in life, who you're around affects you, and who you're around you affect. And the Bible says if you can get around the right people, but the problem is that people can be a test. Imagine if you're sitting in the dentist chair and he pulls out the drill. And before he goes in your mouth, you make an observation. There isn't one certificate of training on the wall. And they pull that stuff out of your mouth. And you say, "Where did you get trained?" "Oh," he said, "YouTube." "All right, put your drill away." But that's how we're a bunch of self-trained people. Hello? "Well, I don't need church." You hardly know the English language. You know nothing about the biblical language, and you don't need church. We have people who are withdrawing from relationships, and the problem is, God says, "I'm going to let my spirit flow when we get into the process of relationships." And Solomon says, if you can get into relationship with people of faith, there will be a reward to you. I'm just telling you, I believe that it is God's will that Charleston Church have such results and rewards for our gatherings, for our relationships, for our marriage, that the entire northern part of this state is totally shaken. Why? Because God sees results when agreement takes place in His church. Verse 10. This is powerful. "For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who's alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him." Spiritual relationships are to demonstrate the art of delivering people out of bondage. Please hear what I'm going to tell you. When we have godly relationships in our lives, the result is that when we meet people that are bound, after a little while, they get free. Don't you love the church? I love meeting people that are down, but through relationship, Jesus Christ works and brings them up. I love meeting people that are losing, but through Christ-like relationships, they start winning. Come on, somebody. Come on. Y'all okay? You've got to be sensible enough to have enough people around you to pick you up when you start getting weary. Those of you that are getting married, let me just give you some sage advice. When you select your wedding party, don't just pick a bunch of people that look good in pictures. Pick some people who will stand there and observe your vow, and then when you're struggling and they see you're having a hard time, who will walk up to you and say, "You know, you can lean on me right now. I was there the day you made that vow, and if you want some help, I want to help you." We've become so plastic with all of these things, and I'm just telling you, when you pick that party, pick somebody who you can lean on, because there are times, ladies and gentlemen, that you start getting weary. There are times that you start getting beat down. There are times that you observe an attack on your life, and if you don't have anybody to lean on, you're going to fall. Well, I've heard people say, well, the Lord said he'd keep me from falling. That's right, he will. And he'll put the people around you to keep you from falling. If you go into places where there's tall bamboo trees, they grow like crazy, but they have no roots. But the reason that you can see an entire bamboo forest is most of the bamboo are dead, but they've got enough other bamboos to lean against. This is not a church that is built with a bunch of strong people because they're independent. This is a church built with strong people because we got somebody to lean on. Is anybody here can think of about four or five people through your lifetime that God has sent in and you were getting tipsy, but they just stepped in right on time and said, you can lean on me. Hallelujah. Come on, you need somebody. Vinny, come on up here. I need somebody to lean on. Come on, quick. I need somebody to lean on. I wish you were bigger, but I'm gonna need somebody to lean on because you get hit from every side. And I'm not going to willingly fall, but I need somebody who, you didn't do anything.
You want to go in that direction?
Come on, man. It's pretty weak. No, don't push me. I got enough of them friends. I need somebody to lean on. We're Pentecostal. That made me nervous there, my friend. We're Pentecostal and we believe in catchers, but I think we need more than catchers in the altar. We need catchers who help us when the job is getting tight, when our marriage is in trouble. We need somebody to lean on. Does anybody hear what I'm... I would test it slowly, though, friends, before... That was that was close. Whew. Okay, I'm good. No, I'm fine. I trust the Lord, but is he still there? All right. I'll lean on you for advice. I'll lean on him for the help. Woe to him who's alone. Oh, don't be there for me when I get up. If you ain't there with me when I'm down, you can't get up with me when I'm up. You know, that's true, though. Everybody wants to celebrate. Everybody wants to celebrate when you're doing good, but you better not forget the people that were with you when you weren't doing good. When you get back up, stay with the people that went back up with you. They're fair weather. They say, I'll be with you through the thick and the thin. And when things get thick, they get thin. If you're in the hospital, don't forget the people that visit you. If you're in the prison, don't forget the people that ministered to you. If you're in the lawyer's room, don't forget the people that ministered. Come on, somebody. If you've been through a terrible tragedy and somebody stood with you in it, why is it that we just walk away from people when they need us? Or why do we walk away from people when we don't need them? Come on, because we're spoiled adults. We need somebody to... Because you don't plan a fall. It just happens. I think somebody ought to thank God that he put some people in your life at a low moment. And they're still here with you now. Come on. Woe. Somebody say woe.
Woe.
That word woe means poverty or punishment. Whew. Stay, please. That word woe means poverty or punishment. So in other words, he says poverty and punishment comes to those who are alone when they fall. Wow. Poverty and punishment come to those who are alone when they fall. I hate to say this, but I can forecast people's fall in the church. Because they distance themselves. Like Vinny's good, but he's not God. And if I want to fall to the floor, I can get myself far enough away from him that I can find a place to fall. And I know this is going to sound weird, but I know people who plan their backsliding. No, you're not going through a season. Come on, let me talk to you like an adult. No, you're not just having your me time. You're planning your backsliding. You've lied to yourself and you're intricately giving yourself excuses. No, you're not in a different place. No, you're not on a different journey. You're planning your backsliding, but you're not planning the result. You're finding everything else to do but God, and you, well, this is just a time. This is just a time. And you're planning your woe. You're articulately and strategically distancing yourself from people who would stand and say you're falling so that you can get to a place where you cannot have the conviction anymore. I know we want people to be there to pat us on the back, but we also need somebody there to kind of slap us on the face and say, wake up. Wake up before it's too late. Please wake up, because you never know. You know, sometimes the devil is smarter than Christians. And I'm going to show you why. The Bible says that when a demon... I know, it's good, I'm glad. When a demon comes into a person's life, and the Bible says when an authority comes in and casts out that demonic influence, this is what the demon does. The demon goes out, the scripture says, and finds seven demons stronger than itself, and takes those seven that are stronger than itself and comes back, and if that person's life is not filled with Christ, will go back and make that person's life worse than before they found God. Here's what's weird. Here's what's weird is that demons are smart enough to get seven people stronger around them. I'm preaching. Preaching. With a smile. But I'm preaching. That if you don't have at least seven people around you that are stronger than you spiritually, you're dumber than a demon. Was there a better way to say that? It's too late now. Am I close to the line, honey? Have I stepped over the line? I'm pretty close. Okay, next point. I suggest to you today, you say, well, I can't find seven people that are more spiritual than I am. You need to do less drugs. You need to stop watching gospel television, and you need to come out here to the real world. I can find hundreds of people that are more spiritual than I am because they've been through things I haven't been through. They've seen things I haven't seen. I can access people. There are so many people around you, and if you don't access them, you are denying help. You know, not everybody that says they want help wants help. Here's proof. When God provides ministry, for instance, in a church, and you don't participate in it, you don't want help. You want somebody to agree with you. Preaching and preaching. I'm preaching. Because honestly, if Vinny has a different mentality about a certain thing, I may resist his ministry because I don't really want my mentality confronted. Now I can say, well, it's because he wears that tie with that shirt that I don't really want to receive ministry from him. But the reality is, I just want somebody to get around me that won't challenge my mindset. And I'm telling you, the ministry is there to challenge mindsets. And I don't care if my truck's broke down. I don't care if you wear a suit and tie. I don't care if you wear jeans, t-shirts, and flip-flops. If you can fix my truck, I need your help. And we've got to get open to the fact that God sends people in our lives, and we need the Holy Spirit to discern that sometimes God will send people into our lives. They don't have the packaging, they don't have the history, they don't have the style that we have, but I'm going to tell you, truth is truth. And if I can discern that God has sent that person into my life, I'm smarter than a demon because I brought somebody in my life that when I stumble, they'll pick me up because I need somebody stronger than me. If Vinny is not as strong as me, I'll lean on him and we'll both fall. But if I can get somebody around me that's stronger than me relationally, vocationally, health, and spiritually, I will never, ever fall. Amen. Ever. Look, man, I'm going to tell you very boldly, Matt Ward will never backslide. Matt Ward will never weaken spiritually if Matt Ward always keeps people stronger than him around him. But the moment Matt Ward distances him, I'm just using for example, himself from people that are stronger than him, he increases the capacity to fall and bring many with him. Watch this, watch this. How many just pray, Lord, send seven people stronger than me into my life? Come on. Look at verse 11. If two lie down together, they'll keep warm. How can one be warm alone? Now, these are not snuggle orders. Don't use this as scripture to move in with your girlfriend. No, it's a new day. I got to cover it all. Well, I'm cold. I got to have somebody to snuggle. I heard about a priest and a nun that went to an event. Stay there, Vinny. I want you to go through this with me. A priest and a nun went to an event, and on their way back, their car broke down. And it would take the whole night for their car to get repaired. So they went to the only hotel in town, and the hotel said there's only one room available. And the priest said, I think the Lord would understand. So they went to the hotel room, and the priest said, I'll sleep on the couch and you sleep on the bed. Okay. He says, I think the Lord would understand. So about 10 minutes into the night, she says, Father, I'm so cold. And he says, okay. So he gets up and he finds a blanket and he gives her a blanket. He lays down on the couch. She lays in the bed. 10 minutes later, she says, Father, I'm so cold. He says, okay. So he gets up and he gets a blanket, gives it to her, and she puts it on the bed. About 10 minutes later, she says, Father, I'm so cold. You know, I think it would be all right. I think the Lord would be okay if we took care of this like a husband and a wife would. And he thought, okay, get your own blanket. Like, you could feel the tension. Like, are the kids in here? If you don't get it, see Tim Elsenheimer. He'll explain it later. He's an expert in these things. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Please hear what I'm telling you. I'm actually making some humorous statements because I know it's a sensitive subject more for some than others. This is a messy deal. But I'm just going to tell you, there ain't nothing like having somebody when you're down, get down with you and say, look, sickness is cold, but you don't have to be cold. Look, divorce is cold, but you don't have to stay cold. Layoffs are cold, but you don't have to stay cold. Why? Because somebody will come in and say, you know what? Jesus heals all disease. You got somebody comes in and God frees people from depression. Yes, God helps people recover from breakup. Come on, somebody. We all need somebody to lean on. We all need somebody to lean on. I believe that. Verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You can recover from an attack. Come on. You can recover from an attack. Somebody say that, I can recover. Come on. Kurt, my goodness. Come on, Kurt. We need one more. Come on, Jordan. Come on, Jordan. Quick. Right here. Are you ready, Kurt? Stand right here, Jordan. Right here. Okay? Kurt's had enough of this preaching. He can't take it anymore. He says, I got to get at that preacher. I'm going to beat him up. And I'm going to preach on. You know what he's going to do? He doesn't realize I got two people standing here protecting me the whole time. Let me just say something to you. If one person gets criticized in the church, two people ought to stand up for them. This is the beauty. Don't stop, Kurt. Don't stop. I'm feeling all right. No, carry on. You know why? Because, yeah, this is a cold world and somebody may attack you. But you ought to be able to run back to the church and say, you know what? I got your back. I know you don't know what they're saying about you, but I got your back. Oh, they're hitting you on Facebook? That's all right. I got your back. Oh, they're attacking your kids? It's okay. Bring them on because God is with us and we're here to protect you. It's good. Whew, it's good. You guys got a little workout. Look. How many agree that's the church we ought to be? Let people say what they want, and maybe they're right. But when it comes to the family, blood is thicker than water, and we stand for our own. We don't hit people when they're down. We pick people up, and we guard them until they get recovery in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you go to that corner. Stay. You go to that corner. You got your phone? Here, use mine. It was a test. Here's a Bible. Jamel, would you come up here? It'd be wicked awkward if you had an argument on the way to church today. Wicked awkward. Okay, stand over here. You need some help? I'll help you. I'm a pastor. I know how to help people put the gloves on. You good?
Yeah.
You ready?
Sure.
All right. Okay, Kurt, come on up here. Come on, Jamel. Don't act like you don't know what to do. Stay right there. You know, the Apostle Paul had some of the most profound writings about family in Ephesians and followed up that writing on Ephesians with a teaching on spiritual warfare. Why? Because the devil hates it when you get connected with God's people. Because he knows if you get connected to God's people, no matter what he tries to do against you, you'll overcome. And Paul says this, that we ought not be unequally yoked. And I'm going to tell you why. It's unequally yoked at any level. Why? Let's just say that Kurt and Jamel are having a battle of words. Okay? And they start jabbing each other. No, wait a minute. It's not patty cake. Baker's man. No, those gloves are made. Oh! Okay, so they start throwing verbal jabs at each other. Come on. Oh, that's it. Oh, yeah. Come on. Here. Oh. Okay, ding. So Jamel goes to her corner, and Kurt goes to his corner. When Jamel goes to her corner, because she's serving the Lord, she gets advice from the Word of God. Watch. The problem is if Kurt's not serving the Lord or serving the Lord completely, he's getting his advice from Facebook and country music. Or some weird theological document shared by some backslidden Christian. I mean, there's a lot of weirdness out there, friends. But when you're in a fight, you need counsel. And so if one person is not right spiritually, they run over here when the round is ended and they get their advice from something that's not heaven. And the other person's running over here getting advice that is from heaven. This could happen in a business. This could happen in relationships of all kinds. That I'm just telling you, when you get two people who are on different, who are getting advice from two different sources, then I'll show you what happens. Ding, ding, ding. The round starts again. They wake up. They went to bed. They forgot about it in separate rooms. They wake back up. And now God has been speaking to Jamel. And she's like, this is what I need to do. I need to back off. My attitude's bad. Good move. Okay? It's not, I might be right, but my spirit's bad. How many know you can be right and still be wrong? And Kurt's over here like, I'm not only right, but I got more reason to think I'm right. And I'm more right than you're wrong. And he comes at her and he just starts unleashing. And she's let her guard down, and now you do have to go home with her, so, I mean, it's just, and guess what's happened now? Now the devil has more advantage, because now the problem is, not only was the problem bad, now it's gotten worse. But, go back to your corners, ding, ding, ding. Here. It's got scripture in it. It's not a Bible. It's got scripture in it. But if Jamel is getting advice from the Lord, and Kurt is getting advice from the same God, ding, 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 when they come back together, they put their fist up, and then they hug each other. And they just lots of love. And what the devil intended in the beginning, through the stress of finances, through the stress of intimacy, through the stress of parenting, through the stress of family, through the stress of all the difficulties, what the enemy started as small to use to destroy them, now they have not only not lost, but they've begun to get stronger and stronger. Come on, wait a minute. Actually, what the devil meant for evil, God begins to use for good, and they can take what was an attack and turn it into an advantage. That's how God works. Young people, you better be careful who you date, because it's a lot more than looks. It's about who you're getting your advice from. And I'm not saying that everybody that goes to church is worth marrying. Hello? We've had to tell our kids about some people in church. You need to stay away. Because when they go to their corner, they're getting advice from we don't know where. But you're a child of God. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, if two or three get together, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. That means Kurt and Jamel, when they get on the same page. Come on, TJ. Come on, TJ. Come on. What'd I say? JR. Whatever. It's two letters. TJ. Now what the enemy wants to do to attack JR, guess what? Mom and Dad ain't having none of it. Because, whoa, watch. Because a twofold cord is not easily broken. So I'm ready to fight JR, but Mom and Dad are stepping up and say, wait a minute, we're not fighting each other. It's pretty easy for the devil to get in and attack JR if they're attacking each other. Go ahead and attack each other. But if they're not fighting each other, but they're fighting me, I ain't getting in there. Listen to me, Mom. Listen to me, Dad. Listen to me, Grammy. Listen to me, Grampy. Listen to me, single parent. You better find somebody to get into agreement, because we don't have enough time to fight each other. We got a foe against us. He's trying to kill our kids. He's trying to kill our grandkids. He's trying to get our neighbors. No. We don't have time for church fights. I don't know where you went to church, but that ain't this church. This is not your father's house. This is the Father's house. And we don't treat people that way. We love everybody. We care for everybody. And we try to be honest with everybody, because we've got too much hell to destroy for heaven not to have an opportunity to flow through the church. How many are glad for the church? How many are glad for victory in Jesus' name? Thank you. Stand with me if you would, please. I don't know how to end that. Just stand with me. That's it. That's a spot. Fancy a conclusion I've got. I want every sick person in this building to come quickly, stand across this altar. I don't know how to be fancy about it today. I've done what I got to do. Every person that needs healing in your body, quickly stand across this altar. Quick. Don't delay. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. Praise God. You need healing in your back. You've got nerve damage. You've got situations with your blood. There's arthritis, diabetes. Don't stand behind anybody. Maybe the ushers will help me. Let's make sure that we get everybody shoulder to shoulder. Hallelujah. Your body belongs to the Lord. I want to do this first. If you stand behind somebody, just don't plan on being prayed for, okay? Because you need to stand beside somebody. Okay, you got to stand beside somebody. All right? Let's begin to thank God for Jesus right now. Would you please? Just thank God for Jesus with our voices. Begin to thank God for Jesus right now. Just begin to thank God for Jesus. Somebody lift up Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Nothing happens supernatural, first of all, until Jesus is exalted.
Oh God. Oh God. Jesus is my healer today. Jesus is your deliverer today. All right, I need some folks that will agree with these, with the family, to come quickly. Stand with these precious people. Jacob Grant down here is fighting leukemia. How old are you, Jacob? 20? 20 years old fighting leukemia. I tell you what he needs. He needs a God, man of God, to stand with him and agree that God will heal a 20-year-old from leukemia. What do you need in your body, bud? Your legs? How old are you? 37. My brother needs somebody to stand with him. 37 years old. You need good legs when you're 37 because he's got a lot of miles left on him. This is awesome. What a great response. Great response. Board members, come right around the front. Board members, come right around the front and let's agree together. Now, those of you that are being prayed for, by faith, you're agreeing with somebody and your body is being healed today in the mighty name of Jesus. Those of you that are back there, thank you for staying. Would you stretch your hand this way and agree together today? Let's agree together that everybody gets healed today in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Not one person has to leave the same way they came in. Not one person has to leave the same way they came in. Every person. It's a little boy down there on the end. A little boy down there on the end. If somebody would come and pray with that little boy down there end. Thank you, bud. Thank you. Awesome. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, sing it. Pray. Would you pray? Let's just, if you wait on the Lord here a bit, God will do something powerful for these precious people that God loves so much. There is power.
now. Jesus, you change everything. Lives healed, hope found. Healed now. Jesus, you change everything.
God's presence here today. He can do anything. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and begin to worship Jesus. There are some hearts, some lives, some relationships, some marriages. Our children under attack. We need Jesus. I'm not saying a relationship seminar cures spiritual attacks. It doesn't. But when we get into agreement, there's some, look at me, some of you are precious moms and dads and your grandparents, and you're going through stuff I cannot even begin to imagine. But I'm going to tell you, if you only operate on a realm of natural things, you'll always be weak. But you have a spiritual authority. Come on, His name is Jesus Christ today. His name is Jesus. And I'm not trying to be weird or spooky or cast the blame on the devil. I'm just telling you today that the enemy hates your home. Sir, he hates your life. He knows that you can be an impact, ma'am. He wants to destroy you. He has been trying for a decade. But today, how many agree together over this church, we live and online, that Jesus destroys everything hell is trying to put against the people of God today? In the name of Jesus. Come on, sing it, Heather. Let's just begin to lift Him up.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
There's power in that name.
And He's just the same.
Declare that over your family.
As His holy name.
Over your business. Over your grandchildren. Over your spouse.
That's the reason why I love Him so. 'Cause Jesus says the sweetest name I know.
Amen. Hallelujah. He's a glorious, wonderful God.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Something marvelous happens when you begin to speak His name.
And He's just the same.
God.
That's the reason.
sweetest
the
name.
The sweetest name.
One more time. One more time. Let faith rise in your heart. It's an anointed song. Sing, I know
Jesus is
the sweetest name. There's nothing too hard for God. Absolutely
and
nothing.
He's just the same.
Amen. He's greater than leukemia today.
As his holy name.
Thank you, Lord. His body gets stronger in the name of
that's
Jesus.
That's the reason why I love him so. The sweetest name I know.
After the last couple weeks that we've had in the Ward family, I'm more convinced than ever that you need to daily be in unity, claiming God's hand upon our children's lives. Praying God's hands over the church. We care about each other. Look out for each other. The church's strength is not in its building or its sound or video or technology. While we utilize these things for the ministry to reach people, all these buildings could just be burned to the ground. But the buildings are not the church. The relationships are the church. We could pick up and gather in the gym at Central High School if we had to, and the same presence of God would be felt there as it is right here. So many things that we want, but honestly, the most valuable thing in a person's life is their relationship. The most valuable thing in your life are the people that are in it. And you know that for a variety of reasons. But if I was you, and I would ask you to do this, let us put a premium on loving one another. Not enough of that around, is there? I believe love is the strongest word in the English language. People that don't know God think hate is the strongest word in the English language, but it's not. People will do far more for love than they ever would for hate. It's been proven through time. If somebody did something I hated, but I can tell you, if somebody came and attacked somebody that I loved, yeah, I don't care if they're 8 feet tall, man, I'll become Kung Fu Louie. Oh, it's not going to be good. I'm Matt Lee when that happens. And I've proved it before, right? You know the stories. Can we have that kind of love for the people of God? I hate what the devil does because I love the people that he attacks. And this whole relationship key. If you read through the scriptures, all the scriptures on unity, they're from beginning to end. And I tell you today, the enemy, don't fear anything for your family. The enemy has no hold when there are some people in agreement with what God is doing. Don't lose your agreement. If you're here today and you're not serving God like you know he has asked you to, you've not asked him to come into your heart. Maybe you've been coming to church for months. Maybe this is the first Sunday you've ever been in a church or this church. And you say, you know, when it comes to relationship, I don't have one with God. You know, Jesus taught more about our relationships with each other than he did God. But he did teach that you must have a relationship with him to have a relationship with the Father. Do you know Jesus? I know you know about him. I know about the president, but I don't know him. I know about Governor LePage, but I don't know him. I know about Billy Graham, but I don't know him. And there's many people in the world that know about Jesus, but that's not the joy. The joy is knowing him personally. With every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, as we talk about you love your wife and you love your husband and you love those people in your family, that relationship, God wants to have as tight a tighter relationship with you than even with your own blood family. He's the best friend you'll ever have. And God's not your enemy. But you don't have a right to a relationship with him until you accept him into your life. The Bible says, though, when you accept Him into your life, you'll never have a closer friend. I've known God as healer. I've known God as provider. I've known God as protector. But I can tell you the greatest way I've ever known God is my friend. Because nobody will understand you like God can. Nobody gets you like God gets you. Nobody will help you like God will help you. We're not asking you to serve your neighbor's God. We're not asking you to serve your parents' God. We're asking you to come into a relationship with Jesus yourself and say, I want to know Him myself. Ladies, don't be afraid of Jesus. He'll never hurt you. Men, don't be afraid of Jesus. He won't embarrass you. He's the God of all creation, and He wants to be your friend. And you say, today, I want to start that relationship with Jesus Christ by doing it His way, by admitting I've come in this place sinning, a sinner. I believe that Christ died on the cross for humanity, and that includes me. And I want to confess Jesus is now the Lord, the owner, the director of my life. I want to invite Him in. Look, I'm telling you can have so much head knowledge, but I'm going to tell you, walking with God is an experience more than anything else. And if you're that way today, maybe you've drifted far from God, or you say, you know what, I'm going to make that decision. I want today, February the 11th, to be the day that I make my commitment to Jesus. I want to receive His commitment to me. If that's you, on the main floor of the altar, the balcony, wherever you are, even if you're watching online, just slip your hand up nice and high right now, and I'll pray for you. Just slip your hand up nice and high. Slip your hand up nice and high. Yes, God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Who else? Is there anybody else here? Praise God. Ma'am, you can look at me now. Ma'am, can I pray with you? Would you come? I want my wife to pray with you. This is a day that Jesus is going to do something fresh in your life. Darcy, would you pray with her? Let's pray this way. Are you ready? Let's pray this way. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
You've been so kind to me.
You have been kind to me.
And I want this day to mean so much. I want you to see that I'm inviting you into my life. Publicly.
I believe
that when you died on the cross,
you had me on your mind.
I repent of my sins.
I
want them washed away.
I
invite you into my life.
Forever.
I'll serve you
by your grace and power.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
And I'll walk with you every day.
Heaven is in my future.
Thank you for your Spirit today.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's praise God for what He's doing. Praise God. Lord, touch me. Praise God. Praise God.